Gimel Pasaka Aleph. At the time it learned Nami, so Nami told her, Chamaisa, her mother-in-law. You count the amount of times it calls Nami her mother-in-law and Ruth her daughter-in-law. Like, does the Pasuk think that I forgot from two Pesukim ago that Ruth is her daughter-in-law? Could Ruth be a daughter-in-law without Nami being a mother-in-law? Sakatala. Alright, so it's her mother-in-law. So she says, Biti, my daughter. That's consistent. Her mother-in-law told her, my daughter. Biti, my daughter. And that's a contradiction. It's contradictory. You can't be a mother-in-law and a mother at the same time.
Well, a mother-in-law speaks to her daughter. It's a matter of saying you speak daughter, but...
Yeah, right. So then just say daughter.
My mother called her mother-in-law mother.
Right, so then just say daughter. I mean, we know she's her mother-in-law. So you want to express an emotion, just say daughter. Aloy avakish lach manayach. I seek for you comfort. She's having a mother-to-daughter talk. I seek for you comfort. Ashiyita lach. Which is going to be good for you? You need a little bit of an introduction to this parak. This parak deals with the advice, the counsel that Nami gives Ruth. She advises her to go to the fields while it's still day, and then when it gets dark and no one could see her, to hide herself away in the threshing floor. It's a building. Inside. And wait there, because Boaz will surely go to sleep on the threshing floor inside the grain silo in the granary. And we're going to see that she tells her to bathe herself and anoint herself and dress in fine clothing and go there and await Boaz's coming and curl up at his feet and then wait and he'll tell you what to do. You need an introduction to such psukim. The Medrash says that there's two women that were Maisha Nefesh. Maisha Nefesh means they gave themselves up. They totally had no sense of self. They gave themselves up for the sake of the tribe of Yehuda, for Sheva Yehuda. They were Maisha Nefesh or Sheva Yehuda. One of them was Tamar, and the other was Rus. Tamar's whole striving, her entire life, was dedicated towards bringing about the continuity of Shevet Yehuda. She married one son of Yehuda. She married another son of Yehuda. She waited for a third son of Yehuda. Failing that, she married Yehuda himself. She was mamish mamish and nefesh. Didn't matter, you know. Didn't matter how old the person was or how handsome the person was, from Shevet Yehuda, she davened for it. Her sole existence was to bring about the Redeemer through Shevet Yehuda. And Ruth did the same thing. There was no personal vested interest in Ruth's marriage with Boaz. There's only one reason why she would want to marry Boaz. It's in order to bring the Goyal, to bring the Redeemer. There's no other reason. It was a mismatch. From the vantage point of the relationship between a husband and a wife, it's a mismatch. They have nothing in common. She's a Gyarish, she's from Amnon Moav, she's younger than him. Unfamiliar. And she was Maisha Nefesh. She married him for one night. One night. They were married for one night. And he was old. So she knew that might not last long. But it didn't matter to her. She's not marrying him in order to have the security of being married to a husband for a long, you know, and growing old together. She's marrying him to bring about Mashiach, to bring about the Gula, to bring about Malchus Beis David. It was Lashem Shemayim. So the Medrash testifies that this was Lashem Shemayim. Nami had Ruach HaKadosh. She was perceptive. She had spiritual insight. She knew that this is going to come about through Rustam Bias. She knew it was the right thing. During the harvesting season, she didn't expect Bias to make a step. The harvest season, he's involved. That's not the time for weddings. After it's over and you reap the fruits of your labor, and now you have the luxury of time to reflect and think. So then she totally expected that Boaz was going to redeem Ruth. She totally expected that Boaz was going to redeem Ruth. And Boaz didn't do it. She waited for the harvest to be over. And a little bit of time after that. And she waited, and Boaz didn't act. And she misunderstood why he didn't act. I mean, what's the real reason why he didn't act? The real reason why he didn't act, the true reason why he didn't act, is because it was a closer relative. We're going to meet him. His name is Pliny Armani. There was a closer relative. And Boaz didn't act because he didn't view Ruth as his. This is not his destiny. There's a closer relative. Who said he's the one? Pliny Armani is the one. And he has to clear that first. It wasn't incumbent upon him. He didn't see it. Nami thought otherwise. Nami thought it's Bias and only Bias. And Pliny Armani is not going to do it. He's not going to be the one to do it. Nami thought that the reason why Bias didn't want to marry Rus was because she came from Mayev. She's a Gieris. Not only is she a Gieris, she came from Mayev. He's one of the Gdeli Ador. And he can't be the one to beguile her. So now she is in a quandary. On the one hand, Bias has to marry Rus. On the other hand, she doesn't think that Boaz is going to marry Ruth. So she saw there's a sin in the Neshamayim that she has to be unorthodox. She saw that it wasn't. She's reading the signs. She's reading the signs from heaven. It's not going to go glatt. You know, it's not going to go glatt. It's not going to go smoothly. There has to be an element of impropriety, like we said, unorthodox. It has to be out of the norm. It has to be not with the mahalach ragil, but
it's still truth, though.
What? That's Emes. And she pushed ahead. She pushed some buttons. She pushed. She was wrong. It was going to be in a normal path. It's going to be with all the red tape and going through all the proper venues. She was wrong. She based herself on other times, you know, like Yehuda and Tamar, that was highly unorthodox, the way that whole union came about. Dovid and Bathsheba, that was in the future, but I'm saying we see evidence that the marriage of David and Bathsheba was also not in the normal Mahalach, and Mashiach comes from David and Bathsheba. And she felt that with Boaz it's going to be the same way. Same way as Yehuda and Tamar, or even Lot and his daughters. They're also part of this process, Yehuda and Tamar. Yishai and his wife that produced David and Melech. There's a number of links in the chain that each and every one of them came about through a sense of impropriety. It was done improper. On the surface, it appears as if it was improper. So she thought this was going to be the same way. But Boaz saw clear. His union with Ruth was going to be clean. Moshe Daravali says the reason why Nami didn't see the same thing that Boaz saw was because The eternity of her sons Machlon and Kilian was at stake. The mitzvah of Yibum the Bayez would perform with Rus would be a tikkun for the neshama of her children. They died childless. They died without a tikkun, without any continuity. If Bayez would marry the wife of Machlon, that would be a tikkun for the neshama of Machlon. We'll discuss later the tikkun for the neshama of Kilian. I mean, he wasn't married to Rus, but we'll discuss that. But it would be first and foremost a tikkun for the neshama of Machlon. And this caused her to see things differently than Boaz. Boaz did not have a personal stake in it. He also was motivated to be misakin the neshamas of Machlon and Kilian, but they weren't his children. So he saw differently than Naomi. Another thing which we have to add is that there's a basin of David HaMelech. David HaMelech convened a basin. There was a terrible atrocity that was committed between two of the offspring of David HaMelech. There was a terrible tragedy that occurred in the times of David HaMelech, that a young man was alone with a young girl, and he took advantage of the situation that he was alone with her. He violated her, and David HaMelech convened a basin that an unmarried young man, a young married man, may not be alone with an unmarried girl, even if she went to the mikveh, even if she's a Pnuya Tahira, and she doesn't have a status of an erva. An unmarried girl that went to the mikveh, there's no chiv karis. It's aser, but there's no chiv karis. And since there's no chiv karis, then she doesn't have a status of an erva. If she doesn't have a status of an erva, there's no issa yichud. That's midaraisa. But midarabanan, the basement of her mouth, there's an issa yichud, even with an unattached girl that's a tahira. But that was in the basin of David HaMelech. That was four generations later, which means in the times of Bayez and Rus, there was no Issa D'Rabbanon of Yichud. So what Naomi advised Rus to do, what she advocated, that Rus go down to the threshing floor and be alone with Bayez at nighttime, alone with him, in a seemingly compromising situation, was not Usher at the time. It was destined to be Usher in the future, but at that time it wasn't Usher. So even though Naomi's design...
How many generations did you say?
Four generations. Naomi's design might have had a spirit, an aura of impropriety, but technically there was nothing wrong with it. So we should bear this in mind. Number one, that she was mechaven l'shem shamayim. And number two, that technically there was nothing wrong with it. Even though according to the spirit of the law, it's not the most proper thing to do. To have a young girl go in the middle of the night to a gadol hador when he's sleeping. And it's ma'ir chashad. You see that she told her to do it in a way that people wouldn't find out about it. So you see that there is a chashad. Because yichud is not aser. But anything further than that is aser. Alright, so let's begin. Manaya chashayitavloch. Manayach means a husband. She's going to find her husband. Manayach is, I want to find you comfort. Let's see the pasuk. In Parakal of Pasuk Tes, the pasuk says, Umetzen, Menucha, that the two of you, Rus and Orpah, should find Menucha, Isha Beis Isha, in the house of your husband. So in Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes, the Torah refers to husbands as Menucha. So here also, she says, Menayach, I'm going to find you, Menayach, I'm going to find you a Menayach, a husband, because a woman that's without a husband is not comforted. She'll get a husband, she'll be comforted. Ashi Yitav Lacha will be good for you. doesn't mean they'll be good for you. The Gerish Shmuel tells us that even though Boaz was 80 years old, and getting a husband that's 80 years old might be viewed as something which is not good. It might be viewed by some... Yeah, but tithe means absolute tithe. That means there's no downside to it. But the Maharshi Yitav Loch is that Nami is telling Rus that even though in Olam Hazeh this might be looked at with some kind of downside, but, you know, how long will you be with him anyway? What kind of husband will he be able to be? There are tzadim. But Lamanashi Yitav Loch is referred to the Yem Shekulei Taif, the Yem Shekulei Orach, that ultimately in Olam Haba it's going to be good for you for all eternity. This marriage will last for all eternity. It will not be a short-lived marriage. It'll be Lamanashi Yitav Loch. It'll be forever. That's the Gerish Shmuel. The Gerish Shmuel says, Menucha is a husband. Yitav Loch, this husband is going to be your husband forever. The Sefer Hazayir tells the Yisaid in Yibam, when a woman and a man get married, then it's not just an agreement, some kind of a social agreement. They agree to share the house, and she does the dishes on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and he does them on... Yeah, he doesn't do them. Or whatever. He takes out the garbage. She gets the kids off to school. He puts them to sleep. They split their income. Every Tuesday night he gets to go out with the boys. Every Monday night. You know, that's not what marriage is all about. A bunch of agreements. Or conforming to one another. Or agreeing to live with one another. Marriage is a bonding of the souls. Something happens in a Jewish marriage that the two souls join together as one. Marriage when the souls meld together as one. You're all familiar with the Midrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes one soul and he splits it, puts it into two different people, and when they find the Basharet, my Basharet, you find it yourself. Well, that Midrash is true. When a husband dies, says neshama is still in his wife. The bond is still there. His body and neshama, they separate. But she still has her soul and his soul are still attached to each other. That doesn't separate. And he doesn't have any children. So he has no menucha. He has no comfort. He has no peace because he's died, and there's nothing remaining of him to continue on in the world. And he's attached to her, so she has no menucha. Sefer Isaiah says that's what Nami meant. I'm going to find you a yavam. I'm going to find someone from the yibum, and we call that menucha because after you get yibum, and between you and the yavam, you produce a child. So then your neshama will finally be able to find comfort. So she'll be comforted from her inner turmoil, from the kesher nafshi that she hears with a dead husband. On a pasuk base. V'yata, and now, halei Boaz medatanu. Boaz, we know him, and he knows us. Asher Yisus naraisav, and you were together with his maidens. He may behold, who Zairas Gairan Asairan, he's threshing the granary of barley grain. Halayla tonight. Tonight's when he's threshing it. They've harvested it already.
Why would there be window at night?
Why, because there's no wind at night?
Sorry.
I don't know the answer to that question.
What?
I mean, he stopped by the time we'll go to sleep, so maybe she meant he's going to be there at night because he's winnowing. Zaira. I don't know.
Seems like an extra thing. Right.
Rashi says when it says the word halayla, it's not referring to the actual winnowing. It's watching over the things which you winnowed already. I guess that's part of the winnowing process, to make sure that what you winnowed stays winnowed. So Mom says, why did she emphasize that we know him and he knows us? She said that before. Doesn't Ruth know that she's related?
Has this?
Malvin. She was telling Ruth that she's not going to be discovered. She, when it's still daylight, go to the field. That's it. There was the field, and then there was the granary where they store the grain all the way at the end of the field. So go to the field and make your way towards the end. And even if you're seen, they won't suspect you of any impropriety because everyone knows that you're related to Bayez and he's related to you. And they'll think that you came to celebrate with him. This is a day of celebration. This is a day when it all comes together.
What do they think they were celebrating?
The harvest. When you winnow, that's when you finally end up with the grain. All the processes from the entire year, they culminate in the winnowing. Because then you end up with grain. You
get rid of all usable.
It's usable. There's no more silos. There's no more chaff. No more chaff. So they won't suspect you of anything because you're a relative. And they'll think that you came to see his success and to rejoice together with him. So that's the significance of telling her that we're related. The pasuk begins with the word va'ata. Va'ata means now. Rav Moshe David Vali said that Nami said this with a sense of urgency because she knew that it had to be now. Now or never. The time of waiting is up. It must be now. And she was 100% right. Because 24 or 25 hours later, it was all over. Bayez had one more day to live. Now. Viata. And now.
She lived through Ruach HaKodesh.
There's a lot of Ruach HaKodesh flying around here.
Okay.
Let's go to Pasuk Gimel. V'rachat, you should bathe yourself, v'sacht, and anoint yourself with oil. V'samt, sim l'sayich, and put on clothing, special clothing, alayich, on you. V'yaradit, and you should descend, hader into the granary. Al tivad l'ish, don't let your presence be known to any man. Ad kaloisei, lachal v'lish tais, until Bayez is finished eating and drinking. It means go down there, secret yourself away, hide out there, and then wait until Bayez finishes eating and drinking, and no one should know of your presence. The Medrash says, you should bathe yourself. That means to bathe yourself from Avodah Zarah. You should anoint yourself with fine oils. Anyone that sees parallels between this and what Esther did is right. Remember we said over the Vilna Gaon that
bathe means with what?
Bathe yourself, that means to cleanse yourself of Avodah Zarah. Purify yourself from Avodah Zarah. Anoint yourself, that means to beautify yourself with the performance of mitzvahs. Put on fine clothing. That means wear your Shabbos garments. Big day Shabbos. The Medrash says, Nami told Ruth to wear big day Shabbos.
Aren't they very poor?
It doesn't matter. I mean, whatever she wore on Shabbos is not what she wore during the week. So she told her to wear big day Shabbos.
Wouldn't they look weird to the people watching her?
No one saw her. She was hiding, right?
The Malbim says that she told her to put them around her shoulder until she got to the granary and not to wear them until she got to the granary and then to put them on when she was alone inside the granary. Does that answer your question? That's the Malbim. The Ben Ish Chai says the gematria of Simlai Sayich Simlai Sayich 340, 370. Simlai Sayich without, yeah, if you spell it this way.
900?
Sim Mem Lamed Saf Yirchaf.
Is it 900?
Without the Vav. Without the Vav. There is no Vav in the past.
It's
800. Sim Mem Lamed Saf Yud Chaf Safit. It's 800, which is the same gematria as Big Day Shabbos V'Yom Tov.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Big Day Shabbos V'Yom Tov. Now you could ask yourself, you could ask yourself, why she told her to wear Big Day Shabbos? Why didn't she tell her to wear nice begadim? Was it Shabbos?
No.
It couldn't have been Shabbos. You know why?
Because
he winnowed. He winnowed.
Right.
And winnowing is one of the Lama tests.
Malachas.
Chayrish, Araya, Kaitim, Amr, Dosh, Zaira.
It's Friday.
It wasn't Shabbos.
Okay.
It wasn't Shabbos.
It wasn't Shabbos. They
wouldn't be on the field to come back.
Yeah.
Now maybe it is like what Yosef's saying, because she was poor and her only nice clothes were her Big Day Shabbos, because she didn't have a nice pair of clothes for during the week. It's not like she had, you know, her going out clothes, her staying in clothes, and then her Shabbos clothes. Her Shabbos clothes were her only nice clothes, maybe.
We say Rachman Yanchilani Yom Shekulai
Shabbos.
What does that mean? We say it every week. What does it mean?
That times of Shino.
What's the Yom Shekulai Shabbos and Menucha? It's the days of Mashiach are called Yom Shekulai Shabbos and Menucha. She's going to Shabbos. She's putting on a Big Day Shabbos because she's going to Shabbos.
Who's that? Because she's
This is
plus
from Shabbos and Medrash. I'm just saying, it's not. What? Yeah.
This is the initiation.
This is the initiation of Yom Shekulai Shabbos and Menucha.
So it is in a way of Shabbos.
Now there's a number of. We have to take note of the spelling in this pasuk. The pasuk said, "V'yaradit," and you should descend. But that's the way we pronounce it. There's a Kriyanik says. The spelling is with a yud at the end, "V'yaraditi." But we don't pronounce it "V'yaraditi," even though that's the way it's spelled. We pronounce it "V'yaradit." Now, why in the world would the pasuk do that? So there's two pshat that I want to share with you. One of them is the Medrash. The Nami is telling Ruth, even though you're going alone, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous to go and plan to ambush the Gadol Hadar in a room. It's dangerous. You can get hurt that way. It's dangerous to try and pull one off on the Gadol Hadar, to try and do something in the spirit of impropriety with the Gadol Hadar. It's dangerous. But Nami said, I have schusim. She has like a savings, you know, she has like a savings plan of schusim. Should I have schusim?
Like her emergency bank account.
Right, Nami has schusim. And even though I'm not going to be able to accompany you, but my schusim are going to come with you, and it's going to be as if I'm with you. So that's why the pasuk says v'yaradit, and you go down, but it's spelled as if it says v'yaraditi, because my schusim will accompany you.
Okay.
No, Nami. Nami is chosim. Nami is chosim. I am going to be with you. Because my merits, the merits of all that I've done in my life, are going to come with you. That's the Medrash. And Ramosha David Vali says another pshat. And the two pshatim are not mutually exclusive. He says that she was beautifying herself in this world. She was bathing, she was anointing herself, and she was putting on Bigdei Shabbos. Kadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to beautify her at Lamala. That when Boaz saw her, he wouldn't just see her physical beauty, but he would see her inner beauty. Very similar to what everyone saw in Esther. Esther's outward beauty was there, was very real, but that's not what her attraction to Ahasuerus was, and that's not what her attraction was to everyone that saw her. It was the chayim. She was nicest chayim v'enei kol re'ah. And just like she beautified herself down here, Kadosh Baruch Hu was going to be with her, and he was going to adorn her up there. So the Boaz would see straight up to the shores of her neshama, and would see how beautiful her neshama is at its very roots. So that's why it says v'yiradati, is a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to accompany her.
It's very roots.
Let's go to Pasuk Dalet.
Who's going to see that?
Rav Moshe David Vali. But wait till after he eats and drinks. Pasuk Dalet.
You didn't say anything about the eating and drinking.
Yeah, because we're going to get back to the eating and drinking when we get to Pasuk Zayin. V'hi b'shachvai, and when it comes to pass that he lies down, v'yadat esamakim, you will discover the place, asher yishkav sham, that he will lie down over there, ubas, and then you'll come, v'gilis margalesav, and uncover his feet. Strange, right?
Uh-huh.
Uncover his feet, v'shachavt, and lie down, v'hu yagid lach, and he will tell you, eis asher tasin, what you are to do. So she literally left Ruth hanging without a plan. Go there, no one should know you're there, adorn yourself, uncover his feet for some obscure reason, lie down, he'll tell you what to do. And that's it. That's the end of the plan. No explanation, no elaboration, no expansion. I guess right away we should point out that the word v'shachavt, and you lie down, is also spelled with a yud at the end. You pronounce it v'shachavt, but it's spelled v'shachavti, for the same reasons that we said in the previous pasuk, that even the lying down next to a good ladar is something which is fraught with danger, but Meizchus will be with you, Hashem will be with you, same thing. The Malvim elaborates on this pasuk. So what's the significance of uncovering his feet?
Feeling his lowest point.
Not exactly. I mean, it's related, but not exactly. In the Sfar Makdashim, the body and the soul are given different names. The soul is called the Adam, and the body is called the shoe. I mean, we put physical shoes on our physical bodies, but that's just putting a shoe on a shoe.
What's the soul called?
The Adam, the Tzuras Adam. Adam is the soul. The body is the shoe on the lowest part of the soul. That's what Chaim was referring to. The body of the person is the covering on the lowest part of the person, because the body attaches to the lowest part of the nefesh. That's why a person could die, because a shoe could be taken off and it could be put back on. You could remove the body from the shoe. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai
by the snail,
by the burning bush. Hashem told him to take off his shoe. What does Hashem mean?
Take off your body.
Remove yourself from Gashmias. And when Yeshua spoke to the Malach told him to remove his shoes.
The Kohanim
in the Beis Hamikdash should do Avoida without the shoes. And Bechalitza,
you take off the shoe.
He takes off his shoe and she spits toward the shoe. You know why?
She's spitting on his body.
No, because
he's spitting on. He's not doing the
mitzvah. He's not doing the mitzvah of Yibum.
Is it up to her or to him?
Yeah, and the neshama of the dead husband, it's up to him. Oh. The neshama of the dead husband is a neshama without a body. If someone dies and leaves children behind, so then they're a neshama with a body. They have their own neshama, and the body is the children they leave behind. But if someone dies without children, they're a neshama without a body. And if someone doesn't do Yibum, if the surviving brother doesn't do Yibum, so he's at fault for denying his dear departed brother a body. So you take off the shoe and you spit in the direction of the shoe to show that shame on you, that you're separating your brother's shoe from his body. The moral said that's why she instructed Ruth to uncover Boaz's feet. You see the Kedusha, the inherent Kedusha? She sent Ruth there on a mission fraught with danger, but she didn't want it to be misunderstood, and she wanted to be very clear that she's doing it l'shem Shamayim and for purpose of a mitzvah, and to be Gael the Neshama and to be Misakin the Neshama. So she had her uncover his feet. Boaz was the Gadol Hador. He would realize. Who Yagaba? That's the Malbim.
The Maral also is them.
No, I didn't say Maral. There's another pshat. Why there's an extra yud in the word v'shachavt, v'shachavti? You pronounce it v'shachavt, and you lie down, but there's an extra yud there for some reason. It's based on a tesis in Maseches Yevamos. Tesis Parakha Oro. Let's see if we can get that out here. The Gemara makes a drasha that female members of Amun and Mayav could convert, and the Gemara brings a pasuk. Mayavi v'lei mayavis, amani v'lei amanis. 1 second, okay? Taisi has a kasha. Should say the same thing by a mitzri, because a mitzri is also not allowed to marry the klai yisrael to convert. But even a female mitzri is not allowed to marry the klai yisrael. Taisi has a kasha. If you make a drasha, I'm mighty v'lei amanis, that you should make the same drasha mitzri v'lei mitzris. That's Taisi's kasha. And Tosis answers, it's a point of diktuk. The way to say Egyptian is Mitzri. That's the way you say it. You don't call him a Meitzar. The name of the country is Mitzrayim. So someone that comes from Mitzrayim is a Mitzri. So the Yud is part of the word. Mitzri means he comes from Mitzrayim. But Amun and Mayav, the proper way to say someone that comes from Amun and Mayav is to call him a Moav, or an Amun. There's no need to have a Yid at the end. Amram is the whole name. So by Amram and Mayav, the Yud at the X, the Yud at the end, Le'avi Amayni and Le'avi Bekal Hashem is an extra Yud. And by Mitzri, it's not an extra Yud, it's just proper Dittuk. So it's the presence of the extra Yud that allows the female members of Amram and Mayav to come into Klal Yisrael. So Amayni and Le'avi have an extra Yud, Mitzri is not an extra Yud. Okay? Seder?
So why is it spelled B'shachafti?
So it's the Yud at the end of Amon and Mayav that makes Ruth Mutter Tobias. That it's the Yud at the end of Amon and Mayav that makes Ruth Mutter Tobias. So it says B'shachaft, and there's the Yud at the end, there's a remez, that the reason why she's allowed to lie down with Bayez is because of that Yud. It's the Yud that's matter her. Amazing. I mean, the Kedusha Torah is amazing.
Why don't we read it with the Yud?
Because the remez.
Kobayashi.
It's from the this is from the Ben Ishkai.
That what you just said?
Yes. Lulu Yagidloch. One final thing with this pasuk. So Naomi told Ruth, you go there, uncover his feet, lie down, and he'll tell you what to do. Who's he'll tell you what to do? Boaz will tell you what to do. There's a commentary on Ruth by the, it's called Besuras Eliyahu. Besuras Eliyahu says, Behu Yagilach, and he'll tell you what to do, is not referring to Boaz. It's referring to Hashem. Put your life in the hands of Hashem. You go down there. You prepare yourself. Beautify yourself. Make sure no one knows you're there. And then do nothing. There's a lot of parallels between this and Megillas Esther. Hashem is running the show. Hashem is redeeming the world. Hashem is saving his people. We are but instruments in the hands of Hashem. Don't mess up by taking initiative. You don't take initiative. You present yourself. Hashem, I'm ready. You put yourself in position and then you wait for a sermon in a Shemayim. Ooh. Hashem will show you the way. Let's hop around one more pasuk, Rabbi Yisrael. Pasuk hey. But Tamri Lel and Ruth told Nami, Kalashir Tamri, anything which you tell me, a lie to me, as I will do. So Ruth said, I'll do whatever you tell me. I'm ready. I'll do it. I'm going to do it. If you look in the pasuk, the word Eli is red. You read it as if the word Eli is there, but it's not there. It isn't there. It's a kri without a ksiv, and there's a whole word. The pasuk says, "V'tayimer Elel," and she told her, "Kol Asher Tayimer, whatever you say, yes, I'll do." The word Eli is not there. It's not written in the Nach. We have a Messiah to read it as if it says the word. It's not there. So why isn't it there? The Igeres Shmuel said that Ruth said, "I don't necessarily agree to this. To going to a threshing floor, where the God Lador is lying and adorning myself, and I'm covering his feet and lying down and not letting anyone know. I don't necessarily agree to this. But I don't exist. It's not me that counts. Eli, me. I don't exist. Nam, you're the God Lador. You're the one with the Ruach HaKadosh. You're trying to bring about a Geula. I don't see it, but it doesn't matter." So the word Eli is not there. Because Ruth wasn't there. Ruth wasn't there. There's two more pshatim in this. There's a commentary from the Maloy HaOmer. Very similar to what we just said from the Yigir Shmuel. The Ruth said, I'm going L'shem Shemayim, I'm in the hands of heaven, I'm doing Ritzon Hashem, and I don't exist. So the Yigir Shmuel said she was being mevatel herself to the words of Mami, and the Maloy Omer said she was being mevatel herself to Ritzon of Shemayim. I mean, they tupshat and compliment each other. Right. Mami and Shemayim. Right. Mami and
Shemayim. What's the second shot?
That she was being mevatel herself to Ritzon Shemayim.
What's the third?
The third shot? The Ben Ish Chai says that.
Where did you get that nice pan from? No.
That there were things that were going on the surface here. There was, you know, the return of the lands that was sold off. There was a young convert finding herself a husband, because who else was going to marry her if not someone from the family? There's restoring the dignity to the family, carrying on. And then there were all kinds of secret kavanas and intentions that were way above and beyond this world. So he said that's why there's a word that's pronounced, but it's not written in the Torah, because Rus was telling Nami, not only do I understand the things on the surface, but I also understand all the deep and hidden kavanas. Those are also a part of what I'm doing now. That's my kavana. So where they lie is written, it's not written, but it's pronounced, because it's hidden to be meramas on the many hidden things. Because tomorrow we're not